This morning in Hebrews chapter 4 is a familiar passage. My references today will be from the New King James. Henry read from the King James Version. And some of you may not have realized what Henry was talking about getting things out of order. He was so excited about being asked to read today that he just jumped up here quick. And that's all right. That's all right. But we appreciate everybody being here. Ruby Phillips' granddaughter, Brittany Howard, is the lead singer for her group, Alabama Shakes. I'm sure you've heard of them. If you haven't, you need to go on YouTube and check that out. It's some pretty amazing stuff. But her breakout hit song was called Hold On. And I found out something in research about this. Rolling Stone magazine named that song the best song of 2012. Did you know that? That's pretty phenomenal. One of our own kids that used to go to Lads to Leaders with us is now mentioned specifically in Rolling Stone magazine with the best song of 2012. The song is a tribute to her sister, Jamie Howard, who passed away at age 13. And most of us here will remember little Jamie. But the song is simply stating, or to put it this way, it's an encouragement from a voice above telling Brittany to hold on. That's the message of that song. This voice from above saying, hold on. Well, we likewise have a voice from above telling us the same thing. Let us hold fast our confession, New King James, our profession, King James. Let us keep the faith, is what it's saying. And this text naturally divides itself into four parts. God knows all things, verses 11 through 13. So keep the faith, verse 14, because Jesus understands, verse 15. Therefore, approach God with confidence, verse 16. Now, our congregation is filled with smart alecks who would honestly say, well, then, that's the whole sermon. Give the invitation. We'll go home. Well, no, I'm going to put some meat on the bones before we do that. I want you to think about the fact that God knows everything about us. Psalm 139 is one of my favorite psalms that talks about God knows when we stand up, when we sit down. He knows when we are awake. He knows when we're asleep. He knows the thoughts in our hearts, the words in our mouths. He knows the thoughts we're going to think before we think them. God knows everything about us. Jesus said the very hairs of your head are numbered. God knows every detail about us. And since He's the one who made us and He knows us, He knows what we need. And folks, His Word is relevant because it only makes sense that since God made us and knows us, His Word will guide us home. And God's Word will reveal to us who we really are. That's what this passage is saying. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. Can you describe the difference between soul and spirit? I think not. Oh, there's lots of theologians that try, but I don't think you can adequately describe the difference between the soul and the spirit of man. Give it a go. You're going to fail. It's hard, but the Word of God can tell the difference. The Word of God can tell the difference. And not only that, but of the joints and the marrow of the body. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God will reveal our motivations. It will reveal our deepest secrets and our real purpose for life. Oh, it doesn't reveal our purpose for life to others. It'll reveal it to us. It'll reveal mine to me and you to yours, yours to you. I'll get it right in a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. Jesus knows man. In Luke 6, verse 8, concerning the man with the withered hand and his healing the man, Jesus knew their thoughts. They didn't have to say what they were. He knew their thoughts. In Luke 11, 17, another occasion with the same kind of scenario, but Jesus knowing their thoughts, responded in a certain way. In John 2, 24 and 25, Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. See, you cannot and you will not hide anything from God. Look at verse 13 now again of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. All things are open to God. You can't hide your heart from God. Now, we fool ourselves. And we hide our heart from ourselves. I don't want anybody to know my heart. I don't even want to know my heart. So we will try to hide our heart from ourselves. We will try not to think about stuff. I've told you the story about when I was in North Carolina, had to work at a machine shop for an early morning shift for a time because the income just wasn't there. Family's growing, bills to pay, so I'm working there, and the fellow I was working with was about as much of a hedonist as you can get. He was a humanist, he was a hedonist, he was a wild child. He believed in doing whatever he wanted to do. He lived the way he wanted to live, party hardy all the time. And I asked him on more than one occasion about if he believed in God, and he says, yeah, I believe in God. Well, do you believe there's going to be a judgment day? Yeah, I believe there's going to be a judgment day. Well, do you believe in that you're going to give account to God? He says, yeah, I do believe that. I said, then why don't you do something about it? How do you live with that? He says, I just don't think about it. I just don't think about it. We try to hide our hearts from the reality. We try not to think about these things. But the reality is we're going to give account to God. And we're not going to hide anything from God. We may be able to fool ourselves into thinking that everything is fine. That God is a loving God, a kind God, a compassionate God, a merciful God who will never send somebody to hell. And my friend, you just don't know what you're thinking. And you certainly don't know God. God is kind and merciful, loving, compassionate, forgiving, gracious. That's why he sent his own son to suffer and die, to save us from a life of torment and torture in hell, an eternity of this. God did this because of his love and compassion. But God means what he says. And you fool yourself if you think that it doesn't mean what it says. God will send to hell those who do not come to him through his son. He means what he says. And that being the case, we can't hide anything from him. Luke 12 verse 2, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 14, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Now I want you to consider this phrase in verse 13 again. All things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Open to the eyes. Picture this. Head pulled back. Grab the hair or grab the top of the head and pull the head back with the eyes and neck and face exposed to full view. It was a Roman custom that a criminal's head, when he was on trial, when he was being accused, that they would grab him by the hair of the head, and if he had no hair, they'd grab him by the top of the head, and they would pull his head back to open up his throat and his face to expose him to the public. So everyone would see this person. You see them on TV, they're doing this. You know? They're headed to the courthouse, they're doing this. Didn't work. It doesn't work. Not with the Romans, it didn't work. And with God, it won't work. going to be exposed. It's going to be made known. We can't hide anything from God. If you've got secret sin, my friend, if there's something you're doing in secret and you don't think anybody knows about it, you better know this. God knows. And you will give account for it. You will. So it's a good idea to fear the Lord. It's a good idea to hold on and keep the faith, because God knows all things. So keep the faith. That's what he's saying. Now, these previous verses we've looked at, particularly verse 13, these are a graphic warning that God is serious about sin. And he knows everything we do or say, so we need to keep the faith. And yes, I know that is motivation through fear. Fear of judgment, fear of punishment, fear of hell. Yes, it is a legitimate motivation. And I know that fear doesn't last forever. Right. And you say, but perfect love casts out fear. Right again, you're batting 1,000. So let me ask you, do you have perfect love? Do you have perfect love for God? Huh? Do you? No? Well, then you better let fear do its work. If you do not have perfect love, then you better let fear do its work. You and I had better fear the Lord and keep His commandments. Because unless you have perfect love, you need that fear of God. You need it. And the foolish person forgets the fear of God. The foolish person discounts and disregards the fear of the Lord. But unless you do have that perfect love, that perfect full commitment to God, to being committed to doing exactly what He says, perfect love will cast out fear. I'm not motivated by fear. I'm motivated because I love my Lord and I want to serve Him and I want to make Him proud of me. I want to be pleasing in His sight. Okay, great. Then you may not need that fear as a motivation. But unless you're there, unless I'm there, I need it. I need that fear as a wake-up call. I need that fear as an alarm clock. I need that fear as a motivation to make me get up out of my lazy boy and get in my car and go to somebody's house and sit down with them and talk to them face to face. I need that fear to make me pick up my Bible and read and study. I need that fear to make me get on my knees and offer prayers to my God. I need that fear to be able to hold on when life is going so easy and so well. You know, it's not so hard to hold on when you're desperate, is it? When you're desperate, man, you'll hang on. Y'all remember that silly poster? Y'all remember that silly poster? That thing was around in the 70s of a cat hanging on by its claws. Hang on, baby. That's what the silly poster said. Hang on, baby. And then what's that saying we have? When you reach the end of your rope, what? Tie a knot and hang on, right? Well, if you're scared, you'll find a way to hang on. You'll hang on. But when things are going well, when we're full of turkey and dressing, when the room is warm on a cold day, when we're satisfied and comfortable, when we're not having stress and turmoil, when we're not having to worry about a loved one that's in the hospital, or we're not having to be concerned about paying our bills, when life is easy and life is good, that's when we tend to drift. And not just us. This is the fate of all men. This is the common concern for mankind. That's when we tend to drift. That's when we desperately need the fear of the Lord as a motivation to help us hold on. Because we need to. We need that fear. We need to recognize the importance of that fear. And so keep the faith. That's the point of it. Keep the faith. Let me ask you a question. Do you have control of your life? Huh? Control? Can you ignore gravity? Can you simply stop a heart attack or cancer or lightning? No, of course not. Control is an illusion. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Hold on. The work of the high priest was to intercede for his people. And Jesus is our great high priest. He has come into the presence of God to plead our case, so to speak. Hebrews 7, 26 through 28, for such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself, for the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness. But the word of the oath which came after the law appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. Since Christ is our high priest, that should motivate us to hold on, to keep the faith. Hebrews 3 and 6 says, Christ is the Son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Hold on. Hebrews 10, 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Christ is our high priest. And obviously, if Jesus were not our high priest, there'd be no use in trying to hold on. None of us can live without needing someone to intercede for us. None of us can live without messing up, without making a mistake, without doing wrong. But here Jesus is right now making intercession for you and me before the Father. So hold on. Don't give up. And yet even with our best efforts, we fail, don't we? Even with our best efforts, we fall short. January 30th, 2000. Does anybody remember what happened? January the 30th, 2000. Well, the Tennessee Titans and the St. Louis Rams were competing in Super Bowl 34. And the score was 23-16 as time was running out. 6 seconds left on the clock. The Titans were trying to tie the game and send it into overtime. The ball was on the 10. McNair threw an inside pass to Dyson, who's lunging for the goal line. But he's grabbed and tackled immediately about 2.5 yards from the end zone. And as he's falling, he reaches with all he has to get that ball across the goal line. Came up inches short as time ran out. And Tennessee lost the game. It was heart-wrenching. They were so close, so very close. Brethren, we don't even get close. We don't even get anywhere close. We need help all the time. We need someone to intercede for us all the time. We need God's mercy and grace all the time. And yet, in spite of our failures, Jesus understands. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was tempted just like us, and yet he didn't sin. But he understands when we do. He understands human weakness. He understands our failings and our fallacies. He knows our weakness. He's well acquainted with our failures. Psalm 103, verse 13, 14. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. See, Jesus knows us because he was one of us. Hebrews 2, verse 17 and 18. Therefore, in all things he made him to be like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Like us, one of us, and yet different in that he never sinned. 1 Peter 2:22, he committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. And yet still, Jesus understands our failures. And he continues to make intercession for us. So hold on. Hold on. Since God's Word exposes the intentions of the heart and reveals all sin to be what it is, we better continue to fear the Lord and hold on. And since we have a high priest who understands our feeble, faltering failure at faithfulness and yet continues to make intercession for us, we better hold on. So this brings us to the last point. Therefore, the grand conclusion of it all. Therefore, approach God with confidence. That's verse 16. Since all of this is true, we can confidently approach the throne of God seeking His help. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Not timidly, not hesitantly, not reservedly, not standoffishly, but boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Approach God with confidence and without reservation. Not arrogantly and not casually. Oh, I hear these people, these modern people. I'm just going to call them people, all right? I hear these modern people praying. Oh, Daddy in the sky. Great Daddy in the sky. Thank you for being such a good pop. For giving me what I want and what I need. And just so casual with God. Now, I'm not one of these that thinks that we must pray with thee and thou, that you've got to use King James English to talk to God. I think that's going too far the other way. But we need to speak to God with respect, reverently. We need to approach God recognizing who He is and the little person that I am. We need to recognize that we are the created one and God is the creator. So approach Him boldly, but in fear, in reverence, in respect for knowing who God is. But don't hesitate to ask God for what you need. Psalm 103, 11 and 12, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward us who or toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. God is good. And He takes care of us. And He blesses us. And He forgives us. And He throws our sins behind His back. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Lamentations 3, verse 22, beginning, though through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. Oh, we deserve to be. We fail so much. We make so many of the same mistakes over and over and over. Sometimes we get angry without cause. Sometimes we are unforgiving. Sometimes we're judgmental. Sometimes we gossip and slander and complain and complain and complain. We keep making the same mistakes, and yet God is merciful to us, and because of His mercy, we are not consumed. Because His compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. We have every reason to keep the faith. We have every reason to hold fast to our profession of faith. We have every reason because God is always going to be there for us if we will simply hold on. So don't give up. Don't get slack and indifferent. Don't grow cold toward God. Keep that healthy fear of God. Grow in your love and your commitment to do the will of God. But in all of this, hold on. Hold on because God knows everything about you. Hold on and keep that faith so you can avoid the wrath of God. hold on, because Jesus understands even when you fail, even when you fall flat on your face, Jesus understands. So hold on. Never stop trying. Hold on, because you can approach God with confidence, asking for help, knowing He will give it. So hold on. Hold on. Hold on. And you'll make it. Now, if you've given up, or if you've allowed sin to take residence in your heart, you need to repent and do what's right. You need to follow God's commands. You need to rededicate your life to God by repenting of your sin, confessing to God your sin, and asking God to forgive you. If you need the church to pray with you and for you, we'll be glad to do that. You just make that known. And if you're not a Christian, you need to obey the gospel. Unless you come into Christ, you don't have access to this wonderful grace, this amazing mercy, the compassions of God. You don't have access to that. Well, you can't even pray a full prayer. All you can ask for is wisdom to understand God's will. You can't even ask God for protection if you're not one of His people. And so, my friend, if you're not a Christian, you need to believe in Jesus enough that you will repent, turn from sin, commit your life to His service, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized for remission of your sins. If we can help you with that, we'll be glad to do it. Whatever your need, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite and encourage you to come right now if you need to, as we stand and sing.